The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planning professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above the fabulous Daniela's Restaurante, where I could absolutely imagine that they will be busy there today for Mother's Day and all of their associated restaurants. In fact, I'm sure many restaurants will be busy today. But for today, for this show, and this show only, every Mother's Day, we bring in a special guest, and it's been the same guest for a while. It's one of the best moms I know, and it's my own wife, Laura Friedman. Laura, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning, everybody.
And people are saying, can you believe he actually made her get up out of bed on a Sunday morning for Mother's Day? That is dedication.
He does it every year, drags me out of bed every year on Mother's Day. Mother's Day to me.
That's right. I don't drag you by your hair or anything like that. That's not the caveman style, no. But I do buy her coffee.
Yes, we always stop and get a Starbucks coffee. I don't have them very often, but Mother's Day, I know I'm getting a Starbucks coffee for breakfast on my way to the studio.
Well, I'll try to do breakfast a little bit better. Later on this afternoon, we're meeting my daughter and the rest of the kids over where she just bought a place, and we're going to a restaurant for brunch, and looking forward to that. And then we get to head to your mom's place, right?
That's right, because it's my mom's Mother's Day, too.
It is. She's a mom.
She is a mom.
Yeah, she is, and my mom passed away 8 years ago. We think about her all the time, and we always find ways to remember my mom as well, and our grandparents. And you know, it's tough. There's a lot. We've told many people here on this radio show that one of the things that happens here at Friedman Financial is that because this firm has been around for 50 plus years, and we provided financial planning and investment advice to individuals all over the region, that we also face a lot of situations when people lose a loved one. And this year, like any other, in 2021, we lost 17 people. 17 people who were part of our client base. This year, we're already up to 12. And it's not because of the coffee. It's just, you know, we've been around for a long time. But a lot of these people are moms. And many people are reflecting back that this could be their first Mother's Day without a mom. And it's not easy. It's definitely not easy, and especially for you, the grandkids, for the spouses, whomever it might be. But one of the things we try to do on this Mother's Day show every year is we try to think about all the great pieces of worldly financial advice that moms, grandparents, aunts, uncles, it doesn't really matter for that matter, gave to us. So, Laura, here we are with all sorts of advice that we've gotten from people, and we put out a note on Facebook and through LinkedIn and to a bunch of our friends asking them, what's the best piece of financial advice you ever got? So we thought we'd share some of those with you. We're not live in studio today, so you can't call in with those suggestions, but we'll use them in further dates. If you would like to drop us a note, you can reach out to me at Mark, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. You know that one. Or you can certainly give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Leave a message for us. Or if you just want to see what we've been talking about this week, we'll have it in our newsletter. And you can get our newsletter each and every Friday. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page. Put in your name, your email address, and you'll get Planning Pointers delivered to your inbox each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. So, Laura, I'm going to turn it over to you. Why don't you share with us a piece of advice that you picked up from somebody, or perhaps even from yourself, of words of wisdom from a mom that's great financial advice?
So this mom says that if you're going to buy something, buy the best quality. Not necessarily the most expensive, but the best quality. Because if you don't, and you try to save some money, you're just gonna, it's gonna break, it's gonna wear out, whatever it happens to be, you're gonna need to replace it. If you buy the best quality, it's gonna last a lot longer, and you are going to be happier with it in the long run. You're gonna be happy with it right away. If you buy something that's just not good, you're just never gonna be happy with it. And saving a few nickels here and there is not gonna make a difference in the long run. So if you're gonna go for it and buy it, make sure it's good.
All right, so let's talk about that for a minute. What does it mean to buy quality? How do you know it's quality?
That's a really good question. You could do some research. The internet is amazing.
Is it? Because you can always trust everything in the internet.
You can't trust everything, but you can do some research on it. You can look at reviews of it. Yes, some of the reviews are not completely correct or accurate. Some people are making them up. But for the most part, if you do enough research, you can get enough information to find out which things are going to last a week or a year and which things are going to last 10 years.
So if somebody announces that we have the best products available, does that mean it's the best quality?
No, that's not research.
I know I'm playing I know I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I'm just trying to help our audience understand what quality really means. How do we determine quality?
I mean, you can look at it and you can feel if it's strong, if it's chintzy, if it's, you know, sometimes. But if you're not knowledgeable about the certain product you're getting, again, I would look to the internet. I would ask my friends. You can even go out on Facebook and say, hey, has anybody bought this? How many times have you seen people say, oh, I'm looking for a new lawnmower. I'm looking for a new car. I'm looking for something. What kind of oven do you have? What's your favorite washing machine? You can certainly reach out on Facebook. You can certainly ask your friends. And again, I still swear by the internet. You just have to take it all with a grain of salt. But if you see 90% negative reviews, you might want to say, I'm not so sure that's what I'm looking for. But if you see 90% positive reviews and they're reasonable, I've had this machine for 5 years. I've had this car for 10 years. This is the, you know, I get great mileage or whatever it happens to be that you're looking for. I don't know what we're purchasing, but whatever you're purchasing, I do think that you can ask friends, you can ask family, you can ask Facebook, but Google it, see what you got for reviews.
And I'm going to continue to play devil's advocate here. Is that okay?
That's fine. I'm
all right.
Used
so,
to it.
Yeah. So I understand, I think word of mouth is very important. That's a very good assessment of something that's been worthwhile, something that's been of great quality. But in the internet today, we're easily fooled. We're easily fooled by algorithms and what are called bots that are paid, that are designed on the computers to start to write fake reviews. I mean, look, I'll be very honest. When I wrote my first book, and I had it published on Amazon, I was told by the publisher to find 20 to 50 people to write a review of the book that I knew so that they'd all be positive. So how do you determine quality when it comes to finding things on the internet? I think there's got to be other ways that we determine what is quality. Let's take clothing, for instance. Do we determine good clothing on the internet?
So clothing is tricky. There's certain, you know, certain designers that you know have a good quality, but they have different levels. They might have different levels of quality within the same designer. I think that, you know, I'm not a seamstress. I am not knowledgeable enough to look at the seams, to look at the fabric, to see how the button is sewn on. I mean, I've bought expensive coats and then the button falls off 2 weeks later and I'm like, this coat cost enough money that the button should not be falling off in the second week. So it's not just the price. I really don't have an answer for you on how to tell if it's good quality or not.
See, but I think you do. I'm going to think of another way that you do this. We can go to boutique shops and you can go to boutique shops to say, okay, it's a higher price, probably higher quality. You can feel it in the fabric. You can feel it in the touch. You feel it in the service. There's a quality element that goes along with service and people being there for you. And then you can go to Forever 19 and buy the cheapest product.
Forever 21.
Forever 21. Thank you. Sorry. That was Forever 19. And you can buy something that is very cheap, and clearly it's good enough to wear once, because once it goes in the washing machine, it falls apart.
Yeah.
But where do you go to buy clothes where you say, all right, I know I'm going to get quality, but I might not pay the highest price for it?
All right, so that's a really good point. So,
wow, can someone record that and remember for the rest of the year? That might be the only time I get, oh, that's a good point from Laura. But,
I give it to you sometimes. So,
you give it to me, that's for sure. I hear about it.
So to go back to how do you know if clothes are quality, I'm going to go back to a shopping trip I went with a couple of friends, and we went to, we went to the mall, we went to Old Navy, and we went to Marshall's, and we went to just Macy's and some regular stores, and I don't know, nothing really looked good. I was like, oh, I don't know, I'm having a really bad shopping day. Nothing looks good on me. Nothing fits good. I don't like anything I'm trying on. And then we stumbled across a boutique, and I tried some stuff on, and all of a sudden, everything looked fabulous. Everything was like, oh, this is nice. My friends were like, oh, you have to get that. That looks so good on you. And so I'm going to guess that the stuff that wasn't fitting me well wasn't as high as quality, and the stuff that fit me and looked nice was a higher quality. So you can determine quality by fit,
mm-hmm.
and how it feels and how it looks. But back to your...
But I think, you go to places like TJ Maxx and Marshall's and Nordstrom Rack and all these places where you can find designer names sometimes,
right.
at an off-listed price.
And sometimes I can go and have zero luck and everything looks terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, those kinds of stores are hit or miss. And then some days I can go and I can just find something fabulous. You just don't know. I find it's rarer that I find something fabulous in those stores, but it's still, if you have time to keep going back and trying things on. But I find if I'm at a boutique or a specialty store that doesn't just carry every brand and has their own brand or specialty brands, that you are, and not always, you're going to get a better price. And if you're, a better quality. And I'm not going to lie. I have to admit, I go to the back far corner and check the sales stuff first, because you can get a good bargain in those expensive stores and still get a good quality thing for a better price.
Another thing that I think as we think about shopping is the importance of comparison shopping. Clothes are one thing. Those are one-off items. But I think some of the best advice that I learned from my mother is that just because something says it's on sale, you might get a flyer or you see something that's on sale, you can actually shop around and find that same product for a variety of different prices, can't you?
That's absolutely true. And I'm going to give you an example of that as well. I was looking at moisturizer, facial moisturizer, and the company that I like is actually out of a city in Boston. So, it's in Massachusetts. And they had a sale, and I was like, oh, their stuff's on sale. And then I was like, before I buy it, before I check out, let me just see what Amazon has it on. And I always fall back to Amazon. It's a really bad habit, but my credit card's right on file, and I don't have to pull it out of my wallet. So it's really easy for me to shop at Amazon. I click the button, and it shows up the next day. So I am a habitual Amazon
shopper.
They've
done a good job trying to make it easy for you.
Really have made it very too easy. So I looked up the moisturizer on Amazon, and lo and behold, it was less money
than the sale price.
It was like significantly less money. And so I was like, why would I, as much as I'd like to give the company, and it was not an imitation, it was actually the real deal, because I know sometimes you can get faked out on Amazon by buying something you think it is and it's not. It was the real deal. And so that was a comparison. That's obviously not a high ticket item, but it was on sale on the web, on their own site, and less on Amazon.
Well, that's what we're doing today. That's Laura Friedman, my wife, a mother of five. And
unless you include Mark, make that six.
All right, true enough. We are here on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. We've got to take a quick break. We're providing financial advice that we've heard from our mothers and grandmothers. And Laura is firsthand mom, a great one at that, with raising five children. And perhaps she can share some of those financial secrets that she's passed on to our children, or financial secrets that she's learned from her mom, her grandmom, her aunt, whomever it might be. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar.
It's not about the money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll give our office a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You can schedule your free initial consultation at our office in Peabody. Jody is not at the office today to answer your call. Jody is my assistant, but if you call on Monday morning, she can certainly get you set up. But if you'd like to learn a little bit more about Friedman Financial, you'd like to figure out, geez, what makes Friedman Financial different from some of the other financial advisors that are out there? What are the costs? What are the fees that they charge? What's the process that they go through? What can I expect from them? Go to visit our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. There's a tab there that says Getting to Know Friedman Financial. You can hit all sorts of information there, watch some videos. You can find about everything. What's the process? What do we do? What does it cost? We are putting everything out there. I don't want to keep anything hidden from you. We are a fully transparent business, so you can know what you need to know so that you can make the right and proper informed decision. But today, it's Mother's Day, and I hope you're doing well. I hope those who are mothers are getting to enjoy their special day. I know the mother in our house, Laura, is getting to enjoy her special day by waking up bright and early and joining me here on the radio. Laura, how are you this morning?
I am great. How are you?
Really? You really enjoy this?
No. Just kidding. It's fun. It's fun for me.
Yeah. So we get Laura up. She's going to be here at the studio here at 8 o'clock in the morning. But fortunately, I will be very honest, we are not live today because I did not want her to get up this early. We're taping a couple days beforehand in the afternoon so that we didn't have to wake up early so that she can enjoy her day for Mother's Day. But in years past, you've been up early for Mother's Day, haven't you?
That's right. And just for the record, he mentioned how he picked me up a coffee on the way to the studio this morning, but we all know that's not true. So somebody owes me a coffee from Starbucks.
Good point. All right, I'll work on that. Let's see how you do for the rest of the show.
You didn't say I had to do well. You just had to show up.
You always do well. So Laura is on the show at least twice a year. We do Mother's Day together, and we do the Valentine's Day special, the Couples and Money show that we do, and everybody seems to love that show. They come back. I think we get more calls on the Couples and Money show, right?
We always get more calls when I'm on the air.
That is true. Thanks again for... Yeah, geez. I do this show with her, and all I do is get buried. I mean, she just... It's okay. I deserve it. Anyways, so today we're talking about financial advice that our moms or grandmas or moms of any sort gave us. And in the earlier segment, we talked about making smart decisions about buying quality rather than just buying the cheapest thing of the day, because stuff would last a lot longer if you can buy quality. And we kind of riffed a little bit about how you go about determining what quality is and what does quality mean to different people. But let's shift gears here a little bit. There's a lot of folks that are out working these days, and it's been tough out there. I mean, there's plenty of jobs out there. It looks like there's two jobs for every one job. There's two jobs available for every one person looking for a job these days. So if you want to find a job, there's one that's out there. But there's a lot of people that are also in their jobs that are thinking, maybe I want to be part of the great resignation and leave my job and go somewhere else. But what's the reason that you stay at a job? And what's some of the advice that you give to a child or somebody who says, you know, I'm really struggling in my job today, or I kind of like my job, there's things that bug me, maybe there's more money out there. What kind of advice is a mom giving to her son or daughter?
So that's a tricky one because... you know, you of course you want your child to be happy. So if they come home and they're not happy every day because of their job, then definitely there's a disconnect. You need to find out why. Is it a person at your job? Is it your boss? Is it the actual job itself? Is it the struggle with money? So I think you first have to sit down with your child and have a discussion. If you are the child, sit down with your parents. And figure out what it is that's not working for you. And once you determine that, if it doesn't have anything to do with the money, make sure money's not a factor. So if you're getting paid fine and it's nothing to do with that, don't go, oh, well, I should go to this other company because they'll pay me more. Money's not a factor, so that doesn't matter. Whatever's holding you back could also be holding you back from enjoying your job at the next
company. I want to understand. What do you mean by money isn't a factor?
If the money is not a factor, then money's not a factor. So if the money's not affecting your happiness at your job, then don't go look for a job because just because it pays more money.
So you're saying more money isn't going to buy you more happiness?
Correct. If the money's not the reason you're sad, more money is not going to make you happy.
So if you were working in a job, the job was challenging and more challenging than you had even imagined, and perhaps there's a bunch of people that are making your job miserable, but you're getting paid a decent wage, and you thought, well, what if they paid me more money? Would that make me happier at this job? Well, how would you respond to that?
So that's what I'm saying. You need to pinpoint what's making you miserable. If it's your coworkers, then you need to move departments or move companies. You can't, or sit down with your coworkers and work out something. If it's your boss, you need to talk to them. Work out something or move departments or look for another job.
So as a mom, when you're thinking about trying to help your child with advice and a job, maybe there's the money aspect of it, there's the experience, there's the challenge, there's the, and they're just struggling. What are some of the things that you think gets in the way of a child from not pursuing what it is that they really want? Is there anything in particular that gets in the way? And I mean, I find in some case that I think a lot of times we complain about stuff to everybody except the person who is the problem.
So I was just going to, that's what I was going to address, is that our children are just entering or recently entered the workforce and are still entering the workforce. So they're younger. They don't have as much experience. And maybe they're not taking as seriously as someone that's more mature because they haven't been in the workforce very long. And so, you know, their coworkers, their bosses, they may be, you know, a decade older than them, 2 decades older than them, and not, you know, treating them as, you know, not respecting their intelligence, their experience, their, you know, I think the age can hold them back in the eyes of other people. So I think that if you're just joining the workforce and you haven't had jobs before, you don't know how to talk to some of these people. You could be intimidated by your boss or your coworkers. And so I think, you know, if your child needs to address a situation and needs to talk to somebody that they're working with, maybe even running some, you know, scenarios at home with them. And if they live at home, of course, they can just come home and visit you. You can do it on the phone. But you can run scenarios. You can address, you know, have them talk it out, address their issues, make sure they're talking to whoever they need to talk to in a respectful, you know, assertive manner, but, you know, in a respectful way. They don't have any experience doing this. They haven't worked before.
Yeah, I find that especially young folks in the workforce, you know, especially their first job, their second job, when things aren't going well for them, they figure, why don't people understand that this isn't working? Why aren't I getting more attention in this? Or why isn't there more focus here? And younger kids or younger employees don't realize some of the other outside pressures that that people that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s might have. It's not just balancing your work, but it's balancing your home life. It's balancing life with your children. It's balancing your parents who might be aging. It's balancing a lot of things, as opposed to an individual who might even be living at home, who goes to work 40 hours, and they go, oh, I don't know how I can put up with this job for 40 hours, but they've got no other responsibilities. Yet the people who have been there at the firm for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, who you might say, why aren't they as enthusiastic about all the things that I'm enthusiastic about? And we forget about the challenges that they have by balancing both personal and professional work. I think it's interesting for us to encourage the young students or the younger people entering the workforce to be enthusiastic, to be open and provide a fresh perspective. But they also have to respect the fact that sometimes things don't happen as quickly as they might like.
So true. Oh, was I supposed to get more than that?
Yeah, that's just, I was trying to set you up for something. Sorry. I just got dead air.
Sorry. I was just...
You were shaking your head. Shaking your head doesn't work on the radio.
I was enthralled with what you were saying. I mean, it is very true. And that is a problem with the younger kids, those young kids in this generation these days. Oh my God, I sound like an old lady. I think that is.
I did not call you an old lady. Just let the record show. I just called you a terrific mom.
Okay, but you shook your head agreeing that I'm an old lady. Yeah, you did.
This is the radio. Nobody knows that.
Sorry. but I think that is a generational thing where this new generation coming in, they're, especially with the Instagram and, you know, Snapchat, they're expecting, you know, even text messages. You need to respond immediately. They need instant gratification. They need response time to be zero. Like, they want that right away. And that's another problem with people not being satisfied if they're not satisfied in their job. And this, you know, we're going back to the younger ones. They need to understand that sometimes it takes a while to work things through, to get used to a situation, to, you know, everybody needs to settle, and it takes time to get into that. It takes time to just figure things out.
Yeah, it's important to share those perspectives with our kids, with people in the workforce. You know, our kids are going to turn to us. They don't, you know, they're all of a sudden handed a benefits booklet. I need to sign up for the 401k plan. I need to sign up for life insurance or any benefits that are provided. I mean, it's our job in many cases to provide them some advice and wisdom as to whether they should start participating in those things.
That's right. And, you know, we're talking about advice for moms, but what about advice for our moms? What if our moms are in the workforce now and they're not happy, or they're wondering if they can retire? What if our moms can retire and have no idea and they're working super hard? Then you need to call Mark Friedman and find out if retirement's ready.
Oh, wow. Is
right for you.
It's like a marketing campaign for me. That was not what I was asking for, not at all. But you're right. But, you know, there's a lot of moms that re-enter the workforce, and it's a whole different experience than what it was, you know, for them when they left the workforce. Perhaps they went home to raise their children, and now they want to get back into the workforce. The world's a little different.
And a lot of times they're doing it just for the fun, just for enjoyment. And then that's the best job you can have. If you just are doing it because you love it, and it's not about a paycheck, and it's not about, you know, moving ahead or whatever it is, and you're just doing it because you like to go there every day, that's pretty good. And that could be the situation where some of our moms are.
So perhaps that's really the piece of advice from a mom is find a job you love.
Yep. And I think that they always say that, but it's true. It is really true. If you find a job you love, I don't want to say it out loud. You want me to say it?
Go ahead.
If you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
You know, this is the show of cliches. But it's true, though. I mean, when you enjoy getting up in the morning to go to work, it's not about the paycheck anymore. It's about the camaraderie of friends and the people that you hang out with, the customers that you might see, the folks you interact with. If you enjoy doing that and you're getting to use the best of your skills, I think that's a real wonderful thing to be able to do.
Well, sometimes you don't even need to use the best of your skills. You can, if you've retired and you want to go back to the workforce, or you really just weren't ready to retire, but you didn't really want to be in a career anymore, you can go work at a supermarket. You can work at a clothing store. I have a friend that just went back, and she works at a little boutique in Marblehead. She loves it. She loves talking to people and interacting with them. And, you know, I have friends that are, you know, looking to waitressing or bartending, and just because they enjoy it. It's fun for them. They like to interact with people. And so I think that there's a lot to be said for that as well.
Great advice from a great mom. It's Laura Friedman, my wife and mother of five children. I'm Mark Friedman. We've got to take a quick break. But before we do so, let me remind you about our newsletter that comes out each and every Friday morning. It's called Planning Pointers. If you'd like to sign up for it and get financial advice in a language you can understand, three little short stories that will really set you off on your day or for the week ahead, and little pieces of advice that you could use, go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and boom, you're signed up. And next Friday, 10:30 in the morning, it will land in your inbox. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. Let's face it, your retirement will be nothing like your parents. Your life won't be based on a fixed income, and instead, in today's world, it will be up to you to make tax-smart decisions on your 401k, your IRAs, and the rest of your investment portfolio. And it's all with a goal of using this money to support your spending needs for the rest of your life. This is serious business, And at Friedman Financial, we can help. With more than 50 years of experience serving this local community, we deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Let's make your retirement all that you've dreamed it could be.
Visit FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Money, 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 money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Ristorante in Peabody, Massachusetts, right on 41 Cross Street. Hope you'll swing by the office someday. Come visit us. We have been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all across the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Yeah, it's hard to believe. 54 years we've been doing this, and we continue to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. For those that wonder, we serve a little bit more than 500 households, all that live mostly within the local area here. A few, of course, have moved off to Florida, Texas, the Carolinas, some out to California, Arizona, and a few other spots, but they generally had roots right here in the New England area. Three, four, five generations of families where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to each and every one of them. We hold ourselves to a fiduciary standard, meaning it's our obligation to place your interests first. And if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, investment needs, especially in a world that seems a little bit uncertain these days, a little rocky, though we are getting out there without masks on, the economic climate feels a little turbulent right now. If you want a second opinion, if you'd like to get some advice, if you'd like a new, fresh perspective, we'd love to talk with you. Phone number 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Come visit us on our website, friedmanfinancial.com as well. You can check on the little box there that says learn more about Friedman Financial. You can set up a free initial consultation if you'd like. And also, if you want to sign up for our free weekly newsletter, it's called Planning Pointers. More than 7,000 people subscribe to it. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, put in your name, your email address, and you will get signed up for this Friday's newsletter coming out at 10:30. But today is Mother's Day, and I hope all the mothers out there are enjoying themselves. I hope they've got a special day planned for them. I know Mother's Day is the 8th. Yesterday was my birthday. So there are days when my birthday comes just before Mother's Day. So yesterday, thankfully, my wife and a great mother did something for me for my birthday, but today it's all about her, and the way we get to celebrate her is to wake her up in the morning and put her on the radio, right, Laura?
That's right.
Laura's here this morning. Actually, those of you that know, it is not really Sunday morning. We taped this a few days early, so you do get to sleep in, but Laura is here to help us provide financial advice from moms and grandmas, not that you're a grandma, from grandmas that you've known and moms that you've known, financial advice, things that we could use to really help ourselves out. So you got any thoughts?
You know, everyone can use a little financial advice from here and there. So someone had said to me, and this is going to take a little tiny negative turn.
Oh, wait a second. Is these the ones that you shared with me that is from some of the crotchety people that wrote in answers to say, here's some financial advice that I would give to kids?
Yes. So,
this is going to be fun. You're going to get a good laugh.
This is advice to people, to older people, to moms and grandmas. This is advice from other grandmas and moms.
All right. Take it.
Is spend some of your money on yourself.
What?
I know.
It's supposed to go to the kids.
I know, but don't sacrifice your comforts and your, you know, enjoyment so that you can save all your money to leave for somebody else. Because you know what? They might not appreciate it.
I think they'll appreciate it. They just may not be as careful with spending it the way you are.
So like I said, a little negative. Spend some money on yourself. Don't save it all to give away. Enjoy it, and maybe enjoy it with your families while you're alive. You don't need to wait until you die to give to your children or your grandchildren. Take them on a trip, you know. Go to Disney World. Go on a cruise.
You know, that's good advice. We've actually talked to our clients about that, where Someone once said to me, a client of ours, and we've used this quite a bit, she said to me, you know, I hope that as I age, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a great-grandmother, that I can give with warm hands rather than cold ones. And I want to make sure that I'm able to watch my offspring and my offspring's offspring enjoy some of the fruits of my labor. But what we are finding is people are getting older. They seem to also have more energy than they did generations prior. It's not uncommon for 70, 80, and 90-year-olds to be going on family vacations still getting out there and enjoying themselves. And what we're finding more often than not is they want to share experiences with their children and their grandchildren. And perhaps maybe some of the best financial advice a grandma or a mom can take is to reach out to the kids and say, you know what, let's go on an experience together. And that's what you're referring to, right?
That's right. And the experience can be one day, it can be an hour, it can be 5 days. It could be dinner. It doesn't have to be, you know, if you're like, oh, I wish I could do that. Well, you can. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You can go to the movies. You can go to the beach. It doesn't have to, not everything has to cost money. I know it's financial, but, you know, you can do all of these things within your means, because some of the stuff is free, and then, you know, and then you can also book a week-long vacation. Like, it's up to you.
You know, I think another way that we can appreciate moms that I think oftentimes gets taken for granted is it seems to me that this has become a generation of grandmas raising kids.
Oh, yes. I've seen that a lot. Yep. And I think that, you know, in some instances, that's great, you know, that they're not, you know, you're not, if the kids don't have to go in daycare or have a nanny or a babysitter while the mom's working, it's great for a grandparent to bond with their grandchildren. I think it's wonderful. But it's also sometimes too much. Like a grandparent, they raised you, they raised all your siblings, and now they're raising the next generation. So it's a catch-22. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have that bond between a grandparent and grandchild. But at the same time, it's a lot of work for a grandparent to raise a second family.
It is. And, you know, as much as those grandparents love spending time with their grandkids, for sure, you are asking them to take away from their own retirement experience. Maybe it's something different than they imagined. Because I'm sure that when they had you as a child, they didn't imagine that when you get older that they would raise your grandchildren, your children. They raised you. They thought you would raise your children. But you've asked them to help raise the grandkids. And they love doing that. And they're appreciative of it. But perhaps this Mother's Day, it's an opportunity for you to sit back and say, you know what? Maybe I need to reflect a little bit and think about how much money, frankly, I've saved because Grandma and Grandpa were able to come and take care of my grandchildren. What can I do for my mom, who has helped to raise my children, their grandchildren, to give them some significant time off or some significant appreciation? What can I do differently? I think at times it gets taken for granted. And I know that there are times, because we see it here in our office as well, Laura, is that many grandparents, they tell us that that's how they feel, but they're ashamed or they're not, I shouldn't say ashamed, bad word. They just are a little afraid to tell their children how they feel because they don't want the children to be upset. They don't want to be challenged with the parents' desire to both work full-time jobs. But they also want someone to recognize that, you know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you've worked really hard to be able to provide for yourself, and you should be able to celebrate that. Because I will tell you, one of the things that grandparents tell me all the time that frustrates them to no end is that their children are making twice, sometimes three and four times as much money as they ever made. And they sacrificed to be able to raise, they still figured out a way to raise you and bring you up. Yet for whatever reason, the children still can't find a way to make ends meet, and they still can't find a way to afford and come up with the costs to take care of the children that they've created, and instead need to rely on free services, though they're free loving services, from grandparents.
Oh, I know why they can't afford it.
Why is that?
Because they need the big house, they need the newest cars, they need to go on two vacations a year at least. Their 5-year-old needs an iPad. Their 7-year-old needs the latest version of the iPhone, and they all need at least 3 different gaming systems for Christmas.
So what I'm hearing from you, and it's a word that my mother used to use when I was growing up, it was called tough love. So when does a mom have the ability to step up and initiate tough love?
So that brings us to another somewhat negative point. If you are giving your child everything they want, which we all want our children to have everything they want, but there has to be some kind of a limit, because if you raise, you know, completely spoiled kids, and I'm not going to call them brats, some are, some aren't, but if you raise completely spoiled kids, they will never know the value of money. They will have no clue, because all they have to do is say, I want, and then they get it. And a lot of times, like I said, that instant gratification, I said in the earlier segment, a lot of times they're not even waiting for it. They're not waiting for a birthday. They're not waiting for Christmas or Hanukkah. They're not waiting for a special occasion. They're getting it immediately. And I think that
why do we do that? Well, look, you and I are equally as
absolutely
at fault to do that. Why do we do that?
Because we... the many reasons why. We want our kids to have a better life than we had. And we had great lives. We had great childhoods. But we want to make our, you know, you want to make that your children have an easier time than you did. If you, you know, your parents didn't have the money to provide you something, and you want your kid to have it. So that free child care of grandma or grandpa, and you know what? Some people pay their parents to watch their kids, but it's drastically reduced. So, I mean, because some parents need some income. You know, maybe they're giving up jobs to watch their grandchildren. So, I think that, that being said, you are going to spend your money on those kids any way you can, because that's what we do.
Yeah, I think we need to explore that a little further. I want to keep talking about that. How, what we're doing as parents, as moms, to give our kids the proper guidance. Do we give them tough love when they need it? Are we doing it enough? I'm not sure that we are. And we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Daniela's Restaurante at 41 Cross Street. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families all across the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. If you're over the age of 50 and you're thinking about retirement, or perhaps you're a little older and you're in retirement, we could be a really, really good fit for you. If the time's right for you to ask for a second opinion, if you want somebody to do a financial planning analysis to make sure that you're really on the right track. And frankly, in the world that we're in today, things are a little volatile. The statements aren't looking all that pretty over the past couple months, though I will tell you I remain exceptionally optimistic about the future of this country and the future of our economy. Though there will always be stumbling blocks along the way. If you need someone to talk to, if you want some guided advice, we are here to help. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And I'm joined today on Mother's Day by my wife, Laura Friedman, mother of 5, and my wife for almost 30 years, right, Laura?
Almost.
Am I going to make it?
I think we might. I feel confident.
Phew. She said, I think we might. Phew. You know, we were talking about tough love in the last segment, and you know, sometimes it's easier to talk tough love than actually act upon tough love. And I think we have become very soft, just as parents in general, both moms and dads, simply because we are so busy and we don't necessarily want to take the time to test our children's will, to test their ability to do things for us. But one of the things that you and I were talking about earlier, Laura, was sometimes the best advice that a mom can give to a kid is the ability to become an adult and become financially, just independent, not just financially independent, just independent. And sometimes that's some of the hardest things to get a kid to do. And it's the best present that a mom could ever receive, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. To have a child, you know, I'll give an example. A few weeks ago, our daughter Alana was like, you know what? I'm going to make dinner tomorrow night. That was amazing. Like, not having, she went to the supermarket, she bought the ingredients, she made us dinner. It was just fabulous.
And it actually tasted good.
It did taste good.
She did a good job. What did she make, Laura?
She made chicken.
Chicken Parmesan.
Yep.
She breaded her own cutlets, fried it all up, made the pasta, made the sauce. She just took care of everything. But did she clean up the dishes afterwards?
Nope.
No, she did not. Why didn't she do it?
She was too tired for me.
Well, but there's that. But there's also the thing is that we've always set a standard that if you and I are making dinner, who does the dishes?
I'm not going to lie. I usually make dinner and I usually do the dishes.
Whoa.
That happens very often. The kids will clear the table and put away the leftovers, but I usually end up at the sink. But that's not here nor there.
So what are we doing? You know, what are some of the things that moms would love for their kids to know how to do so you wouldn't have to do them?
So all of my kids can do their own laundry, which is great. And they all knew how to do their own laundry, you know, I want to say middle to high school. Definitely by high school.
So those are boys and girls, right?
Boys and girls, of course. They can all cook. They can live on their own if they needed to cook something for themselves. Not all of them can cook everything, but they can cook something. Mindy happens to be more gourmet, and Jerry's actually pretty fancy as well. So you know, you want them to be able to cook. My kids always know which of my, you know, you shouldn't have a favorite child. My children always know which is my favorite child. It's the one that did the dishes or the one that took the trash out for me. I'm very, very shallow when it comes to who's my favorite. It's the one that cleaned up the kitchen or, you know, straightened up the family room and folded all the blankets. So, you know, it's nice when they do stuff like that on their own and you just come home and the counters are clear.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that you like, I know I like it especially, is that when I come home and the house is clean and, you know, the kids just generally, they flop everywhere, right? And they leave stuff behind.
Shoes in the middle of the kitchen floor. Like, you just never know. A coat on the back of any old chair. It doesn't matter.
I just want them to pick up after themselves. Because at some point, when they do move into their own place, you know, what do they want? How do they want their place of residence to be perceived? I mean, I know that growing up in my house, at least, I know that I think it was different in your house, but I know in my house, you didn't leave the house until the house was ready for a guest to show up at any time. The President of the United States could be walking in the front door of my house, and my house was going to be ready to receive him or her, although there's never been a her president yet, but ready to receive them at a moment's notice. We made our beds. We kept our rooms clean. The kitchen was ready. The counters were wiped down. But that was a different thing growing up in your house. And so, am I not right?
Yeah, we were a little more cluttered. Being nice.
Okay. But every family, when we come together, we try to figure out, okay, how do we create our own system? And then how do we teach our kids to do what we want? You and I, we make our bed every morning, right?
Yep. And so does Mindy.
But do the other kids make their beds?
Jerry might. I'm not sure.
Sometimes they do. But what are some of the other things that we could that you would be impressed with if your kids could take care of for you?
You know, I would like them to do more cooking for the family. That would be great. I'm a little nervous that the three boys are coming home from college. I'm a little, you know, we've gotten into a system with Alana where the house is pretty clean all the time. And I'm a little nervous when those boys come home that it's going to be a little messy again.
What is it that you wish the boys would do specifically?
You know, keep the kitchen counters clean. Put their dishes in the dishwasher instead of just leaving them in the sink. I mean, we're fortunate that they don't leave dishes all over the house. They leave them in the sink for someone else to wash. You know, I wouldn't mind if people take a night to cook like Alana did a few weeks ago. And, you know, more than every few weeks. That would be great, too. I don't know. What would you like to see?
Well, I think for you, who's responsible for the pool in the backyard?
Nobody knows how to do the pool but me. Oh, Corey knows a little bit.
So maybe one of the things that moms need to learn how to do...
Delegate.
...is delegate.
Oh, I could teach you how to do the pool.
No. I'm not asking me. I'm saying we could teach the kids. I mean, but that's it. You know, sometimes we get so in our ways. It's what we do in work as well. We just say, it's too difficult to show somebody else how to do it. But I think we have an obligation.
Well, to be honest, over the summer, all the boys are going to have full-time jobs, and my job gets lighter in the summer. So I will work less in the summer, and they will work more in the summer. So technically, I'll have more time to do the pool.
Okay.
Just thinking.
All right. So,
also, do you want the pool broken, or do you want it in working order?
No, I know. And the thing is like, look, if you did something that broke, you'll take accountability for it, as opposed to ignore it and wait till somebody figures out that it broke, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or stained a couch.
Or spill wine on a couch
and
try to bleach it to clean it. Yeah, we've got all sorts of interesting things that happen in a house of five people. But, you know, we're in the last couple of minutes here. Were there any other pieces of financial advice that you picked up from a mom, or as you as a mom would like to pass on to children? And I know you're kind of probably going to roll your eyes at me and think about, well, I don't really know. But I think there's so many pieces of wisdom that moms have given to us. I mean, one of the best things that I know my mom tried to teach us is to save more than you spend. I mean, that can't be that difficult, right?
Yeah, and I think going off of that, you know, save more than you spend. And also don't buy stuff you can't afford. That's basic. It's basic knowledge. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. If you can't pay for it today, wait until you can.
And I think in a world of plastic, where we're generally not using cash these days, whether it's a debit card or a credit card, I think we have an obligation to our children, as a mom, as a dad, to make sure that our children are being financially responsible with how they use their debit cards and credit cards. I know we talk about the idea about, when I go into schools, I talk to the kids about using an ATM machine. They all use the ATM machine to get cash. And when I ask them, how much does it cost to get money out of an ATM? And they say $3 to $5. I'm horrified.
That's right.
That's our job, to make sure that our children are being responsible. And I think another thing that we need to do is teach them the lessons of what they're paying for conveniences.
And that goes back to the Uber Eats and all that.
What do you mean by that?
Grubhub and the money they're spending on getting food delivered. But I know adults that do that.
They do it too. I mean, we are the ones that are setting the example for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to do a better job of that. And moms and dads are in a position where they need to be the role model. I mean, in some cases, mom or dad is the only role model for some of these children.
Yep.
And we need to do a better job. And as our children get older, we need to continue to have those open and honest conversations with our children, and not just placate to what they need, but to try to be sure that we're giving them lessons so that our lifestyle isn't so wrapped up in saying, well, at least I know I'll have money to pass on to my kids. They'll be fine when they have the money. I mean, that is, believe it or not, what we hear from some children. They don't save for retirement because they figure, well, I'll ultimately inherit grandma's or mom's money, and that'll be enough for me in retirement. If I can just continue to spend what I'm making, make that even, at some point I'll inherit some money. It's unfortunate, but folks, that's the way it works. You'd be surprised. We see a lot of stuff here. For the most part, I mean, our clients are terrific, and our clients are well-meaning, very responsible. But when those kids inherit money, and we're seeing a lot of it, and I'm sorry if I'm being a little bitter here on the radio about that, but with 17 deaths last year and 12 already this year, we're seeing some very interesting adult children being very cutthroat with how they believe that their lifestyle will now accelerate because of the inheritances that they expect to receive from mom and or dad.
And if they haven't saved any money, they're not going to know how to save the money that they're inheriting, and they're not going to have that money very long.
So it's up to mom, it's up to dad.
To teach
them the financial literacy. If you believe that it would make sense for us to hold a financial literacy seminar for your children, for people that you know, we are happy to do it at any time. If you run a business, you have a philanthropic organization, you have a school that you're part of, I will come and teach financial literacy to your children. It just doesn't happen overnight, but we're here to do it. We're here to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, I hope you'll give our office a call. Our phone number, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. that's going to do it for us today. I'm going to toss the microphone over to Scott Whitley over at his North Andover studio, and I'm sure he's got plenty of great places for you to go to eat today on Mother's Day and every other day that's coming up. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Laura, thanks for being a guest host here on the radio show.
Thanks.
Happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll do something nice today. I'm sure we will. Have a great day, everyone. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning in to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planning planner, tax professional, or attorney prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, and SIPC.
Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management.